Spoken Word, half an hour of poetry and performance, your connection to Melbourne's grassroots poetry scene, the voice of those of us who have nothing but our voices.
Good morning and welcome to Spoken Word on 3CR, 8:55am and web streamed on www.3cr.org.au. Oh, it's an interesting time we're living in. We're living in the times post-Copenhagen and big fights over the Murray River. And it's because of that I invited David Campbell back to the studio to join us and share with us some of his environmental poetry. Good morning.
Good morning, Rhonda.
How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Just been watching, as you say, the pictures of the snow on the news. And considering we've just recently had a 40-degree day, it's rather odd, as you say.
You've been writing poems about the environment and the effects of people's effects on the environment for a long time.
I have, yes, over a number of years. And it's interesting to see how situations that I wrote about several years ago are still making the headlines and will continue to make the headlines because they're problems that are not going to go away. And in fact, in many cases, they seem to be getting worse.
The Murray River, that's been a big fight.
It has, yes. And it's the responsibility keeps getting shifted around from states to federal government and nobody wants to take ultimate responsibility for it. And it's affecting not only the livelihoods of the people who grow things in the whole area, but it's also affecting a lot of the native vegetation. And that led me to write a few years ago now. But as I said, it's a topic that hasn't slipped away from the headlines. I thought I'd look at what's happening from the point of view of one of the old mighty River Red Gums. And so I wrote a poem that was called, or that is called, The Last Red Gum. And it goes like this. We are children of the river, the meander and the creek, of the floodplain and the gully and the stream. We are symbols of a landscape, once abundant and unique, that now threatens to be no more than a dream. We have known the hand of hunters as they shaped their swift canoe, when the sap was running early in the spring, and we've watched the wiry stockmen as they're boiling up a brew, while the pelicans greet sunrise on the wing. We have listened in the evening to the thunder on the range that foretells to all the coming of the rain, with the air alive and crackling in the lull before the change. And the flood comes down the Murray to the plain. We have stood here by the river since before the white man came, through the years of surging flood and searing drought. But our lives have all been altered. They can never be the same. With the levee banks, our future is in doubt. It will only take a moment in the history of time, and we'll reach that final point of no return. We'll be victims of a cancer, of a slow and silent crime, of the failure of mankind to look and learn. Take a step into the future, of a bleak and barren place, where the floods are but a memory from the past and there's nothing to be seen now but an empty, arid space, as the mighty River Red Gums breathe their last. For the water has long vanished as the dry leaves turn to dust. Irrigation is the law that rules the land, and the Murray-Darling Basin has betrayed an ancient trust that the world of men could never understand. At Mulwala and Chawilla there are remnants of our kind in a place where verdant floodplains used to be. Now a ghostly red gum graveyard is the only thing you'll find, and a desert is the only sight you'll see. In the Warrego and Peru, all the waterholes are dry, and the billabongs and swamps have turned to sand, while the sun burns ever hotter in a blue, remorseless sky. And the drought grips all in cracked and withered hand. It's the same down in the Coorong, where the birds once lived and bred, for salinity keeps getting worse each year. All the egrets and the ibis and the cormorants have fled, while the Murray Cray and blackfish disappear. We are dying, slowly dying, as the salt begins to rise and erosion strips the land of all that's green, for the wind blasts all the topsoil in a dust storm through the skies, and the earth is left a carcass that's picked clean. So we stand, me and my brothers, just the bones of ancient trees that have lined the river bank since time began, in a bare and barren landscape, fed by red dust on the breeze. We've been ravaged by the careless hand of man.
Wow. Have you read this in front of many live audiences?
Yes, I've read it a number of times. And it's been very well appreciated each time, because the news about the salinity, the rising salt, the death of the red gums up along the Murray, the fact that the floods that used to come down no longer do so because of all the irrigation that's happening further up. And the red gums need that water. They need a regular soaking in order to survive. So the habitat that they were used to, the natural environment, is disappearing, and the red gums are disappearing at the same time.
It's very disturbing. I mean, this has happened in, what, a short period of 180 years?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. It's probably symptomatic of the sort of changes that are affecting our natural environment in many ways, where something that man has done with the very best of reasons is having a completely unintended effect, and in particular the devegetation, if that's a word, the stripping away of all vegetation is affecting the land in general, and then that affects, as I understand it, the water table. And that causes the salt to rise to the surface, and the increase in salinity in places like the Coorong down in South Australia, where the Murray hits the ocean. You've got non-existent wetland areas that used to be filled with birds and all sorts of wildlife, and the water's just not getting there anymore. So it's not only affecting the trees, it's affecting a lot of the wildlife as well.
Coorong was a breeding ground for a lot of birds.
Yes.
Migration too, breeding, mm-hmm. Good feed, move on. My, it seems that we're very expensive creatures to feed humans.
We are. The food bowl is there and it's feeding us, but we pay a price, not only in monetary terms, but also in environmental terms.
So the next poem that you gave me is God's Sweet Rain. Why did you write it?
In particular, to look at the effect that drought is having. And we've had prolonged period of drought, despite recent floods up in the north of Australia. There's particularly Western New South Wales, that is still very much drought affected, and it's affecting families, individuals, because not only are their livelihoods threatened, but their health is threatened as well because of the devastating effect it's having on families and family relationships. And so I wrote that, or this particular poem, in order to highlight that sort of thing. It's called God's Sweet Rain. When darkness comes to cloak the plain and flood the sky with stars, he sits and rocks to ease the pain and banish daylight's scars. I watch him in his ancient chair, this man once strong and proud, but now brought low in deep despair, depression's long black cloud. The shadowed beast has dulled his mind and sapped his will to live. The past, for him, is undefined. He has no more to give. He's caught by nature's wayward hand, held fast within its thrall, sad witness to a ravaged land where drought has conquered all. I cannot tell just what he sees through vacant staring eyes, the broken earth, the shattered trees, the endless burning skies. For silence is his only friend, the words have long since fled, there's little he can comprehend of anything that's said. My mother tends him day by day, in thought and word and deed. She says, "Your father, come what may, will never be in need." But in her voice a tremor breaks, and whispers of her fear, the symbol of a heart that aches for all she once held dear. She's watched our land decay and die as years have come to naught beneath a harsh, relentless sky that mocks the battles fought. And now, to multiply distress, she sees my father fade, a ghost who spurns her soft caress and waits for death's dark shade. She made me take his gun away, the terror in her voice. "We must, dear God, what can I say? We simply have no choice." Those words will always stay with me. I'll see her anguished face, for she was trapped, and so was he, in tragedy's embrace. The seasons change, the cycle turns, yet time is standing still, as life, like land, retreats and burns, destroyed by nature's will. The darkness hides the awful truth, but cannot ease the pain. Yet I must hold the hope of youth and pray for God's sweet rain. Yes, I wrote that because that is an experience that I think many people in country areas could relate to. When you see your whole life, livelihood, and often several generations of history being wiped out by the vagaries of the weather, in particular the long drought that many people have experienced. It's hard for those of us who live in the city, as I do, to fully comprehend exactly what it is that they're going through. And that was my attempt to try and come to grips with that and put it into words.
How do rural audiences respond to that poem?
Very well. In particular, they appreciate the fact that somebody is trying, however inadequately, to express some of the feelings that they have, to try and explain exactly what it is they're going through, because quite often it's something that gets pushed into the background. It's something that does need to be fully explored and explained.
Mm. And the other part of the death of rural communities, you were saying, is young people moving on and moving through.
It is, yes. The whole situation out there is exacerbated by the fact that when the livelihood is threatened, then the young people naturally move away and look elsewhere, and also some of them do not want to work on the land as their fathers and perhaps grandfathers have done. And so I wrote one particular poem that looks at that, and it's called Desertion. I can hear the country crying, says my father, for it's dying, and the passing of that life will bring an end to the toil of generations on so many outback stations. It's a tragedy that's hard to comprehend, for the land has been our living, it's the gift that keeps on giving, but I fear we've passed the point of no return. Though we've tried to keep together in the harshness of the weather, we have seen our expectations crash and burn. Then he pauses in his sorrow at the pain of each tomorrow, and I see him brush away a sudden tear. In that instant of emotion, I can glimpse his long devotion to the lifestyle he has always held so dear. And the moment is revealing, for I've never known that feeling, never shared his eager passion for the land. From my youth, I talked of leaving, for although it left him grieving, it was something that I couldn't understand. For the days are long and tiring, with a farmer's life requiring a commitment I was not prepared to give. And the still cold light of morning was, to me, a daily warning this was not the way that I would choose to live. I detested herding cattle and the unrelenting battle with a climate that was always at extremes. I could only watch and wonder at the floods that came to plunder and the droughts that ravaged all his hopes and dreams. Through the heat mirage's shimmer, I would try to catch a glimmer of the beauty he insisted that he saw, but the ever-present danger left me nothing but a stranger in a landscape that was rugged, rough, and raw. So I left, despite his pleading, and the life that I've been leading since departing has a pace that suits me well. I enjoy the noisy clamour and the gloss, the glitz, the glamour. I have fallen for the city's magic spell. I am not alone in leaving, with my childhood friends perceiving that their future on the land is looking bleak. So they're following ambition and are breaking with tradition, for they've learned that there are other goals to seek. With the land so unforgiving, it is time to make our living in the townships and the cities, where we try to create a fresh beginning, find a brand new way of winning, where the willful laws of nature don't apply. But it's hard, upon returning, to observe my father yearning for a future that he knows will never be. He can sense my irritation, but it fosters his frustration, and he has to take his anger out on me. Ever since we lost your mother, I've relied on you, no other, to attain the things we've wanted to achieve. But you're lacking any vision. I can't cope with your decision to just turn your back on all we've done and leave. You see ruin. I see beauty. It's desertion of your duty, a betrayal of all those who've gone before. There are problems that need solving in a climate that's evolving, and that can't be done by walking out the door. It's a certain sign of failure, a disaster for Australia, for we need you youngsters out here to survive. But you walk away forever, and that says to me there'll never be another chance to pull through and revive. I say nothing, fully knowing that the reasons for my going are a fact of life I simply can't explain. Though my visit is but fleeting, from the moment of his greeting, I've anticipated leaving home again. For the fine red dust is clinging, and the perspiration stinging as the stifling heat of summer presses down, while the sun climbs even higher, I have only one desire, for my air-conditioned office back in town. But I can't escape dejection, For there is in his reflection an acknowledgement that we are just a part of a movement that's increasing, growing daily without ceasing, and it's striking at the nation's fragile heart. A tradition's disappearing, as the early pioneering is forgotten in this electronic age, and my father's generation is weighed down by desperation, while our history now writes another page. That one, that poem also has resonated very strongly with a variety of audiences, again because of the message that it's giving, but also because it gets to the very heart of the double barrel problem that so many communities are facing, because the communities themselves are dying as the young people move out. It's not only the individual properties that are struggling, but country towns right across Australia are losing the lifeblood, the very heart of what keeps them going and keeps them thriving.
Yeah, I was watching the young people pouring in from rural areas into university, and quite often they'd start with studying agricultural things and very quickly move on to other subject areas and then decide in that environment not to go home.
Yes, and one can only imagine at the father who was once a son with his father on that land is now looking at the next generation and wondering what's going to happen in the future, because there's, in many cases, they can't see a future for the life that they've known for so long. The whole situation is constantly evolving and changing in response to the way the climate is dealing with the country.
Mm. The other thing that I'm seeing is people selling out their farms, and basically super farms are being created by corporations. So where you had lots of small family farming groups, you've now got one corporation doing, well, they basically amalgamate the farms. So less and less people live in the little towns.
That's right.
There's less and less need to service people from those towns.
That's correct. It means that all of the various other livelihoods that depend on the farming community are also moving out of the towns. And we have a situation where we come in from the city and we don't understand the situation, and the folk who live in the local area can quite often be resentful of the fact that we don't understand what the situation is. And I've written another poem here called The People on the Land, which looks at exactly that situation, something of the clash between the rural and the city areas, and the effect it's having on other businesses that work in rural towns. As I said, it's called The People on the Land. I'd like to make a point or two for all you city folk, from those of us out in the bush, where life's no bloody joke. You've made your choice, I hear you cry. Why don't you cop it sweet? The air is clean, there's room to move, there's parking in the street. I know all that, and like it too, but there's another side. For nature is an untamed beast, impossible to ride. We had a flood and then a drought that killed off half our sheep. We had to borrow from the bank and got in rather deep. My wife, she found a part-time job that helped us to survive, yet we were broke for quite a while and fought to stay alive. But we were lucky, mark my words, for things are bloody tough. You bust a gut through each long day and still can't do enough. We love it here and always have. This life is all we know, but things are changing all the time, no matter where you go. We haven't got a local school. Three pubs are down to one. We have to drive 100K to get our banking done. The mill shut down. It just went broke. The chemist closed his shop. The hardware's gone, and so's the vet. We even lost our cop. The kids have left. They just got bored. And there's no work around. You'll walk up Main Street any night and never hear a sound. There's just the oldies hanging on to try and make ends meet, but all the rest are pushing off. They're voting with their feet. We almost thought of getting out when things were pretty thin, but this is home, our heritage. We can't just chuck it in. My parents lived here all their lives. They worked through good and bad. No matter what the circumstance, they gave it all they had. The farming life was in their bones. They raised us to believe that this was where our future lay, with so much to achieve. They'd hate to see what's happened now, how nature's brought us down, and how the lure of city life has killed our little town. The ghosts of generations past still haunt these dusty roads, where bullock drays and battered carts once hauled their mighty loads. Where crack of whip and stockman's cry still echoed on the plain, as weary eyes turned heavenward to search for signs of rain. Where lonely headstones mark the graves of those who've gone before, their voices sighing in the wind like wavelets on the shore. We have lost so much. It slips away as months turn into years, and all our cherished hopes and dreams become dismay and tears. Yet we persist against all odds, despite a sense of dread, and battle on from day to day to try to forge ahead. The future is an unknown place, a mystery to all, but we will fight to make our way, still held in nature's thrall. You city folk don't understand, despite your country drives to get away from urban streets and brighten up your lives. You'll maybe stop, take photographs, and go to see the view, but mostly in your four-wheel drives, you'll simply charge straight through. But in your rush, please stop to think and try to understand the debt you owe to all of us, the people on the land. I'm particularly conscious of that when, as I regularly do, I leave the city to venture out somewhere into a country area. They need our support. They need our money. They need us out there spending things in order to keep their communities going.
It's been remarkable to listen to you reading your poetry again. David, thank you so much for coming into 3CR and joining us on Spoken Word.
Thank you.
Well, next up is Talk Back with Attitude. Have a good week.
Books. Books are great. Books. Books are fun.
Books.
Books are a right.
Books.
For everyone.
Books.
If you like books and are a 3CR subscriber, you can enjoy discounts at the following Melbourne bookshops: Academic and General Bookstore, The Arts Bookshop, Barricade Books and Info Shop, Basilisk Bookshop, Class Bookshop, Curiosity Books, Friends of the Earth Bookshop, New International Bookshop, Paperback Bookshop, Polyester Books, Resistance Bookshop, Spinifex Press, and Sticky Institute. Show your 3CR subscriber card at any of these shops and enjoy some tasty books today.
Listeners worldwide can now listen to 3CR by web streaming from a computer anywhere around the globe.
Web streaming means that 3CR's real-time broadcast can now be sourced from a computer as well as a radio.
Listening to 3CR through your computer is most useful if your area receives poor AM radio reception, if you're travelling or living away from Melbourne, or you want to listen to 3CR but aren't near a radio.
Go to 3cr.org.au to find out how you can listen to 3CR online.